I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to stand before you again. I hope that this evening I can present something that will be beneficial to each one here. If you have a Bible handy, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. And we'll read a couple of passages before we get there, but this is where the meat of our lesson is going to come from this evening. So if you have a marker or keep your finger there, it'd be a good thing. Begin our lesson this evening in Mark chapter 4. I'll read that real quickly for you. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And so here the kingdom of God is described as scattering seed on the ground. And that's our responsibility, right? We as the church, we have the responsibility, we've been given the responsibility by God and the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel, to scatter seed on the ground. And in keeping with that seed and plant of the kingdom of God, we go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, that's the parable of the sower, we'll pick up in verse 3. "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. For when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so here, our responsibility is described, right? We throw seed, and the sower, and we hope that it lands on good ground, right? And so this evening, we're going to look at the growth pattern when the seed lands on good ground. We're going to use an Old Testament example to do so. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have the account of Naaman and Elisha. Elisha heals Naaman's leprosy. But Naaman was just like any other guy. He had a job. He was good at his job. He had a predicament, something that hindered him in what he was doing, and this is where the Lord enters his life. We pick up in verse 1 of chapter 5. "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." And this leprosy was what hindered him. And so, as a king, as the king of Syria, to have someone who the Lord was with in battle was a rarity, because Syria, it's not Israel. And usually, as Joshua, the book of Joshua, the Lord fights for Israel, right? But in this, it's described that the Lord was with Naaman, and that is why Naaman was able to bring victory to Syria. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. That's verse 2. And so by chance, someone that had an opportunity to give the seed to Naaman seems to just appear in his life, right? You can call it chance. You could call it God's will. But she ends up in Naaman's wife. She waited on Naaman's wife as a servant. And in verse 3, "Then she said to her mistress, If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And so, by chance, the servant girl manages to give Naaman the first direction that he's had toward God. The first direction that anyone has given him about something he should do for his leprosy. And it was someone who was humble, someone who had a quiet voice that Naaman could hear at a time that Naaman would be able to listen to it without pride. And it goes to show that the Lord uses common people. And so this young servant girl, she was Naaman's evangelist. She was a planter. And as you know, after being planted, and like the parable of the sower, if the seed doesn't have good conditions, if you will, it won't be able to grow into something that can produce fruit. And so it needs water. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about himself being the planter and Apollos coming along later and doing the watering. And so who provided Naaman's water? The first water that Naaman received was the water of encouragement. And it came from an unlikely place. The waters of encouragement that Naaman received were from his own king. In verse 4, we'll continue. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. But what I want you to notice is that the king probably didn't know, probably didn't have a clue, that he was helping Naaman in his walk toward finding the Lord. The king probably thought, the commander of my army has leprosy, and that's a problem for me, because the Lord is with him in battle. I need him to be able to do his job well. I need him to be able to serve me well. It probably didn't come from a place of, this man needs to go find God. And it goes to show that sometimes when we give water, or when we receive water, the giver of that water doesn't always know that they gave it. We can give water to others in our lives, to the seed that is growing inside them, the Word of God. We can water that seed just by behaving like a Christian. Maybe we held the door open for somebody on the way into a grocery store, and they thought, that was a nice act. I wonder who that person is. I wonder where they go to church. Maybe they're a Christian. They did something nice for me. It could be that small. And we might not even notice that we did it. And so we need to keep our eyes open. There's a list in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, a really convenient list for us, of things that we can do, things that we can implement in our lives so that we can give people the water that they need for the seed to grow, even if we don't know. In verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." And it goes on to talk about not taking vengeance for ourselves, but leaving vengeance to the Lord. And that behaving like a Christian can mean that we can be an evangelist in someone else's lives without even knowing that we've done so. We can be an encouragement. We can water. The second water that Naaman received back in 2 Kings chapter 5 was the water of instruction. The water of instruction. If you'll read with me in verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But notice how Naaman reacts to this water. It's different than the last one. Verse 11, "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana, the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?'" And so, Naaman had this preconceived notion, right? He had an idea of what was going to happen. He was obviously a very important man in his country, and there were customs, the role that a person played in their culture. There were certain ways that you were supposed to treat people, right? We have the same kind of setup. Elisha just sent him a messenger with instructions. Didn't even come out to meet him. And Naaman became furious. We can often do the same thing. We can expect our salvation or we prayed for something. We expect the Lord to wave his hand over the place and heal it. But that's not always how our Lord works. He's already completed the wonderful work of Christ's sacrifice. That great and magnificent and powerful event has taken place. And now he expects simple obedience from us. It's not something grand that we have to do to receive our salvation. Our instruction, in fact, the only time the word instruction is used in the New Testament, I believe, is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is the Lord's messenger that he sent out to us with simple instructions on how to have our imperfections removed, such as Elisha sent his messenger out with instructions to Naaman with how to have his leprosy removed. So maybe we are receiving instruction, but maybe we are giving instruction as well. And we need to use the word to do that. We need to keep our eyes open for both possibilities. The next water that Naaman receives is from his own servants. It's a nudge. A small nudge in the right direction. To 2 Kings. A small nudge. And this is easy for us to do as well. Verse 13. "And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean?'" His servants were respectful. They were humble in their approach. They, again, were a voice that Naaman needed to hear, but they spoke in a way that Naaman could hear it without having issues with the way that they were talking to him. He said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more when he says to you, wash and be clean?" We need to keep our eyes open for these two possibilities as well. Maybe we need to give a nudge. Maybe we need to be a voice that someone could hear when they need to hear it. Or maybe we need to receive a nudge. Maybe we need to be listening for that voice. Two possibilities. So Naaman has reached a point in this account where the seed that was planted in his heart by the servant girl had been watered three times, once by his king, once by Elisha, and once by his servants, and it had grown. It had grown to a point where there was tension, there was conflict inside Naaman. The word of God had grown inside him. And he had reached a point where he had either had to let it leaf out or cut it and throw it away. He'd reached a point where he had to make a decision. And in verse 14, first three words describe Naaman's decision to us. So he went. Those three words are powerful, especially for us, because we have an even, I don't want to say easier because it's not easy, but we have so many opportunities to follow the Lord. More opportunities than the commander of the army of Syria before Christ's death. Many more opportunities than Naaman had. And so he went should describe us just as much as it described Naaman in this passage. I want it to be said of me in God's record of my life when he reached that point where he had to make a decision, he went. He made the decision. He made the right decision. I want it to be said of you in God's record of your life. So he went, or so she went. So after Naaman had made this decision, continuing in verse 14, he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. Naaman made the proper decision. He let the word of God leaf out inside him, and he got a result. The result was his cleansing. And just like Naaman, our result is our cleansing, the cleansing of our sins, when we make the proper decision and to follow God. Along with receiving cleansing, I mean, Naaman could have just gone his way, right? He'd been cleansed. He rejoiced. He could have just left. But he decided to go back. In verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and stood before them, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As long as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And here's the cool part. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord." And so Naaman, after having received his result, he didn't just go his way, he made a change. And we must follow that same path. We must make a change. When we receive our result, our cleansing, after our decision, we have to make a change. And then continuing in verse 18, another neat thing happens. "Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." And so Naaman does what we must continue to do after we've made our decision, received our result, and made our change. He asked for future forgiveness. Naaman, the commander of the armies of Syria, the pride and joy of his pagan king, did that. He was good ground. He had the seed planted inside him. He was watered three times. It took some help, but he made the right decision. He received as a result. He made his change, and he received forgiveness. We see in verse 19, and Elisha said to him, "Go in peace," and he departed from him a short distance. And so maybe tonight, you've had the seed planted inside your heart. Maybe tonight you've been watered. Encouragement. Maybe someone here has encouraged you before, during, or after services. Maybe you've been instructed. Maybe you've been given a nudge. Maybe this evening it's time to make your decision. Maybe that same conflict that was inside of Naaman is inside of you. Maybe it's time to let the word of God leaf out. You'll receive your result. You'll have to make a change, but you will receive forgiveness. So we offer an invitation. If anyone has a need, whether it is prayers of the saints, or maybe it's time to make that decision. If you have a need, please let it be made known while we stand and sing.